This is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Jason Hall, and Brendan Johns.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Throws it. Fakes the spike. In the end zone. Touchdown. Whoa.
Whoa. He has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Neon lights, Nobel Prize. When a mirror speaks, the reflection lies. He won't have to follow me. Only you can set me.
It's Optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. It's Thursday, day before. Things are happening around here. It's been a crazy morning so far. Tomorrow, let's not forget, we've got Ricky the Dragon Steamboat going to be coming on with us tomorrow at 1:15. That's going to be a lot of fun. Super. I think we're going to have a lot of people wanting to call in and ask questions. So this is what we'll do for tomorrow. We will, if you want to email me, or you can slide into my DMs at any time that you kind of feel like it, and you can ask any kind of questions you want. If you want to give me questions to ask Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, I'd be more than happy to, and I think we would have a lot of fun. Talk to me, Jason.
I don't need y'all's help. I know enough about Ricky Steamboat. But if you want to DM me anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I mean, I think, look, super stoked. It's going to be a lot of fun. New Tennessee fan is the best way to put
it. That's what he said, a Tennessee fan by marriage, I guess. I'm assuming his wife's from East Tennessee is more or less what I gathered from the tweet. So.
Hey, man. It's
He said by marriage, so.
It's going to be fun.
But we're excited to have him on. Obviously, Ricky Steamboat's a legend. So,
absolutely. I was kind of going over. I was like, man, what match was that back in the day where it was almost like an Iron Man match? And he went back and forth. And then you told me, because I'd forgot it was a WrestleMania 3.
WrestleMania 3, Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
It's fantastic. I'm excited. That's going to be fun. On today's show, we got Mark Moses that's going to be joining us. He's out of Jacksonville, Florida area. He's been down at SEC Media Days. Going to be a good time to have him on. Just kind of go over his whole experience and what he went through down in Atlanta. And, talk about everybody's met. Talk about his interaction with Nick Saban. Just kind of want to have fun with that one. Brad Crawford from 247 Sports is going to join us. As you do this, I give the lineup, Jason, and you give me some crazy little things that happen on Twitter.
I'm not the one who suspended their account. But apparently Alabama's football account is suspended.
Again. I think they keep doing the
maybe
music.
They put that their birthday was last week, so.
No, but I think they might be doing the music thing where they play music that. What's their Twitter account?
Alabama football. What did I say it was? Alabama FTBL for football. It's football abbreviated, so.
Alabama FTBL.
Yeah.
Is it suspended? No results.
No, it's suspended. Is that just
they
pulled
did
the
some
page
kind,
up?
They did some kind of, they messed with something when it comes to the music. I'm sure they put in one of their videos, so. Whatever. We had Derek Mason and Gus Malzahn on so far today down at SEC Media Days in Atlanta. I think the biggest thing from Derek Mason's side, he's getting tired of the stadium that he's in right now, as he's come out and said, we're not looking for the Taj Mahal. Our administration understands the need for it, and we're moving in that direction in regards to a new stadium. which I don't think is happening anytime soon from the people that I've spoken with in Nashville. I know folks love going to Nashville and hanging out, going to an away game at Vanderbilt just because of where it's at. You know what I mean? Like, fans like to travel there. Their alumni base in Nashville.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest cities in the South.
Yeah, for different fan bases is great. So, if visitors fans want to go have a good time, maybe they need to upgrade a little bit. So, I don't think that's going to happen, though, anytime soon. I think they're working on something else. It should be announced over the next month or so. We'll have my buddy Chris Lee on here soon. I want to also talk about how hot the seat is for Derek Mason. We'll do that sometime next week, because what that's going to do is it's going to filter in who we're talking about when it comes to assistant coaches.
Right.
And who's on that watch list. Would Lane Kiffin take the Vanderbilt job?
That'd be interesting.
Would Lane Kiffin take the Vanderbilt job?
I think he would at this point. I mean, it's a step up from
Florida. If it was offered to him in December and there were no other big-time jobs available, and it...
Which is more or less the case for Lane Kiffin right now.
Right. And it got Lane Kiffin back in the SEC. Would he take Vanderbilt?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or would he wait on another big job in the SEC? Okay, here's one. Let's say Kentucky...
Do we know that job is coming, though?
If he doesn't get six wins, yeah.
If he does?
Doesn't.
Oh, I'm not saying Vanderbilt. I'm saying that other hypothetical job that you're saying, is he waiting on? Do we know for a fact that Kentucky or, what are you saying, LSU would be one? Because obviously LSU would be preferred.
I think LSU would be one. But let's just say LSU doesn't open up. Does he maybe take Kentucky or Vanderbilt job if they open up?
Yeah, if he has nothing else available on the table, why wouldn't he?
Or just stay at FAU and collect a paycheck and
live in Boca.
It's Boca Raton. It's the it's chess time. Dinner's at 4:00. Gonna hang out on the yachts. Do all the fun stuff down in Boca. I've been to Boca once.
Say you've never been to Boca, have you?
I've been to Boca once. I would think he's out. Like,
what is that accent?
Playing croquet. I don't know. I think I tried to go Italian.
Wrong half.
I'm right next here to a Yankee, so it is what
it is.
Yeah,
I got the other half in me too that actually does make up Boca. So yeah, that's wrong ethnicity. Anyway.
Okay. I mean, it is what it is. Just want to get into that. Okay, Jason, hit me with some news of the day.
Are we going to talk about this reported rift going on, or?
We'll get into that here in a minute. Is there any other news of the day?
Realistically, I mean, SEC Media Days, what's the best coming out of that right now?
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's talk about it. It is what it is. I don't like it, so let's talk about it. Hit me with it.
Oh, the rift.
Yeah,
the reported rift. So this isn't coming from us, obviously.
Not at all.
It's coming from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. It was aggregated by A to Z Nashville.
Who's the author?
Zach Reagan from A to Z Nashville. But the author
who's the original one?
Of the other one was Green, because he didn't say it. They just said Chattanooga Times Free Press. It was Jay Greason.
Jay Greason.
Of the Times Free Press.
Okay.
And he wrote something about Media Days this morning, and the big money quote was that there is a potential rift between Jeremy Pruitt and athletic director Philip Fulmer not completely seeing eye to eye. And here's the quote. There also are whispers out of Knoxville that the hard-charging Pruitt and new athletic director Philip Fulmer are not exactly seeing eye to eye as both feel their way in their new roles. And maybe those growing pains are to be expected considering the newness in some ways and the old coach habits, Fulmer being the coach, Pruitt working for guys way more famous than the AD in others.
Is this somebody
that
just trying
like,
to get a...
Yeah, it's just stirring the pot.
Just stirring the pot. You're just trying to get a...
I don't know Mr. Greason.
I don't know him.
Right.
I'm not going to hate on him. But it's already getting aggregated. So I'm sure there'll be 28 different articles up by 3:00 this afternoon talking about there's whispers in Knoxville that Pruitt and Fulmer aren't getting along. Get out of here.
It sounds like
mess.
It's really speculating that they're two head coaches and there could be something though more than anything.
Yeah, what it sounds like is they had maybe they had a disagreement on something.
Even if they did, who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Like, we haven't even seen Jeremy Pruitt coach on the field yet, and we're already starting stuff with...
I think he's doing a pretty good job recruiting, right?
Yeah, an excellent job so far, and I don't know. I it seems like you could pretty much take Jeremy Pruitt's name out of that article and put whoever Philip Fulmer hired and start this controversy either way. That Philip Fulmer's a former head coach and he's going to want to tell his guy how to coach. And whether that's true or not, people are going to believe it because it sounds like it could be, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't like it. I don't like putting it out there right now. If you're just going to put whispers, we're about to get into it again. Give me context.
Right.
Don't just tell me that they're putting in whispers, that there's whispers in Knoxville. Give me context.
Right. Especially
tell me what they're whispering about.
The way the phrase fake news is thrown out so freely and, you know, nonchalantly, you should really put some context together to, like, back your claims. Like, say why. And you, no, I'm not saying reveal your sources. Specify what exactly it could be. Not there's speculation that a hard-headed coach and a former head coach are disagreeing on things.
No, there could be whispers on who came out of the bathroom first, who didn't leave the seat up.
And really, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, if there's some kind of disagreement, it's not like, okay, Philip Fulmer disagrees with one thing that Jeremy Pruitt does, he's going to fire him next week.
So our biggest takeaway from this is?
It's not an issue.
Don't start nothing if there ain't nothing.
Right.
What about the old saying, when there's smoke, there's fire?
There's no smoke in this. It's
Stop
a,
trying to start stuff, like, Brandon.
That sounds like smoke.
No, yeah. It doesn't. It's not even started yet.
Listen, Brennan.
They're still trying to, like,
Lake
put
Haven's
the wood together.
Lake Haven's not coming
together.
Back to Nashville, so you can, like, stop I'm, trying to start stuff.
They're still trying to, like, slice the wood together to make it into
all
a fire
all I'm
and
saying
smoke.
Is, I think Lane Kiffin would probably let Philip Fulmer tell him whatever he wanted to.
I don't think that at all. Okay. I think Philip Fulmer would hate Lane Kiffin right now since he's the guy who replaced him.
We're about to put him on a 5-minute mic suspension.
Right. Whoa. Whoa now. I'm the one who controls that.
865-546-8200. Call in and bash Brandon Johns all you want.
Please do.
Really doesn't matter to me. Let's talk about this. Not about the whispers. I don't care about the whispers. I want to know how you felt about Pruitt in the last 24 hours. The University of Tennessee down at Media Days. We can talk about Florida. We can talk about Auburn. Everything that's going on. Quotes are just coming out from Gus Malzahn down at SEC Media Days. Nothing really stood out to me. I mean, what... I think more or less that Auburn's going to give free rein to the quarterback position at Auburn, to Jarrett Stidham. Let him call his own plays, stuff like that. We'll hit more of this on the other side. You guys can call in, like I said, 865-546-8200. Want to hear from you guys. Mark Moses coming up at 1:40. We'll talk a little bit more about everything going on down at Media Days coming up on the other side of the break. And then we'll continue to talk about the whispers. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville.
Here's a jam for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get females get jealous. Okay, smart.
It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Got a little heated there in the commercial break. We won't dive into why.
You got heated. We're pretty chill, man.
I did get a little heated. It is what it is, man. Get off the case.
I'm cool with any journalist trying to make a buck, man.
I'm not talking about
that. It's a
tough
industry.
If you want to talk to me, you whisper in the mic. I'm cool with any journalist trying to make a buck.
Yeah. Whatever.
Some other news, if you guys didn't catch it, and I'll tell you, one of my favorite Kentucky players to watch, and even in the SEC in the last 20 years, it was just fun, man. It was a great quarterback. Especially with his stature and his height and everything, his arm. Jared Lorenzen has an E60, I guess you could say. It's not a documentary, but an E60 piece coming out.
Is it one of those shorts, or is it actually
It'll E60? Probably be about 20 minutes, 30 minutes long.
So it's like a web short? Or
yeah, they've released like a full
gotcha.
E60 profile.
Right. Yeah, it's called the Hefty Lefty. Now he's in for the fight of his life. And I tell you, he's put it out there on social media and everything, his battle with weight and his weight loss and trying to get to that point. And he played arena football a couple of years ago. I thought he was I can't put it into words how much fun it was to watch him because his agility was so good, Jason.
He's a weird combination of big man, light foot.
Yeah, and it was fantastic.
Kind of like the Kevin Owens of football.
Yeah, I guess so. And I remember him from that, you know, that LSU game when Rohan Davey stepped back and hit the 70 yards, and Kentucky fans were already on the field while the ball was in the air. But he was such a good quarterback.
You know what my favorite Jared Lorenzen story is? When we first moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
So this is like pre-me loving the SEC, whatever.
Because you were a Yankee.
That's what I'm getting to, if you must say it three or four times. It's better than being from Alabama, but I digress. No, my cousins and great uncle have Giants season tickets, and they came down for the Giants-Titans game.
Okay.
And this is like, what, Eli's third year, pre-Super Bowl, and they're already running, as true New York fans, they're running Eli out, and they take binoculars and they're like, God, I wish we just put this Lorenzen guy in. Oh, he's so big. Look at him on there. He's so big. That's our starting quarterback.
That's
and in
fantastic.
Hindsight, it's so like two Super Bowls later, it's so ridiculous.
Didn't he start a game or two for the Giants because Eli got hurt?
Because Eli had that streak. So if anything, it would have been in between Warner and Eli, but I think there was a direct bridge. I don't think Lorenzen ever started for the Giants when Eli was there. Because I think it was Kurt Warner, Eli's rookie year, and then Eli took over at the end of the year, like for the second half
of the year.
And then he had the consecutive game streak that your boy Benny took him out for one game and then got fired.
Benny who?
McAdoo.
Benny with the good hair.
Oh.
Ben McAdoo.
McAdoo. Whatever. You're the Giants fan.
I'm not a Giants fan. I'm a Vikings fan.
My favorite.
I don't care about New Jersey teams.
So you're a Yankee, but... You're also a Vikings fan.
My dad liked the Purple People Eater's name.
Okay, cool.
My first game was Giants-Vikings. I don't cheer for New Jersey teams, bruh.
Very cool. I grew up on the Saints. And
Who are you to judge?
No. But Atlanta was 3.5 hours away as well.
Yeah, Atlanta makes sense.
So we had Atlanta, and then we had the Saints. So it was like you had to pick one.
New Yorkers don't like New Jersey. Well, some of us don't. So I'm not picking a New Jersey team.
I think I went to one Saints game growing up, and I just never – the NFL
– you're gonna say you're not a big NFL guy, though.
Right, I'll watch NFL, but I'm not invested in the NFL.
Right.
I'm not invested. Now, look, if I cover players and I know them.
If it's guys who are former SEC guys.
Right. Like me and Malik Jackson have a great relationship.
Okay.
Because met him at the senior bowl when he covered. But he played here, but he played at USC too, and I knew some people in Southern Cal. So I follow him, and we text
great
a lot.
Great interview, by the way, too.
Right, yeah, we're going to have him on. But I keep up with him, and I keep up with the Mobile boys, you know. Mm-hmm. Barron, you know, McCarron, who's up in Buffalo now, who blocked me on Twitter.
AJ
blocked me on Twitter.
Did you say something about his
Josh
wife
Dobbs
being hot?
Blocked
or?
Me on Twitter.
No, I think I talked
to... He blocked me too. Why?
I.
You know why? Because you probably... Well, you don't write, but I think because I aggregated an article with his quote.
Well, also, I think I talked about his chest tattoo, but here's...
We're talking about Dobbs,
I'm talking about AJ McCarron. Okay.
McCarron deserves it. Like, McCarron's chest tattoos... I'm sorry, AJ. We'd love to have you on the show, but your tattoo is awful, bro. Anyway, yeah, but Josh Dobbs, I think it was because I used a quote in a tweet, like one of his tweets for an aggregated article, because one that I used from the Knox Sentinel... quoted him without embedding the tweet in there, and then I found out I was blocked. I was like, I've never said anything negative
about
Josh
Dobbs. I'd like to talk about everybody that's blocked from big-time athletes. Hit us up, 865-546-8200.
One of the guys who listens to our show, DC, we met him last night at the bar that the boys did the horseshoes at, and he was giving me a list of famous people that blocked him.
Really?
Yeah, but he said John Cusack, because he got into a political debate. I'm like, why would you even argue, man?
I think AJ blocked me. And here's a crazy story. AJ blocked me on Twitter, because I said something about his chest tattoo, which it covers his whole...
It's awful.
Chest.
It's awful.
But
Tyler Braze is bad, too.
But we were talking
one?
About... I don't know how I got into it last football season. Blah, blah, blah. The crazy part is, he's really good friends with my cousin Bubba.
Okay.
So he was at Talladega when I was there. So he rolls up to Bubba's motorhome.
Right.
And I'm out there, we're chilling, we're having crawfish.
He's from Mobile
out.
As
he's
well,
He's from Mobile
right?
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, "What's up, AJ?" I said, "Trey Wallace." I said, "I, you know, who I'm with and what I was, you know, doing." But he knew. But I was. I said,
"But I was gonna
hey,
say,
Bubba's
did he actually know you, or did he think you were just some guy?"
I think he thought I was some guy.
Like he probably like
at first.
He probably was it in an article or was it just a tweet?
It's kind of just a tweet.
Were you like big on Twitter at this point, like you are now?
Yeah.
Okay. But at the same time, I think he probably just saw it and blocked you, not like he has a personal vendetta against you.
Yeah, so I saw him at Talladega.
I'm sure if Josh Dobbs saw me or Brandon, he wouldn't be like, those guys I blocked on Twitter. He probably would have forgotten whatever
we did.
He didn't
even run his Twitter account when he was in college.
Oh, is that why?
Won't say who ran it for him.
Butch?
But no.
Because I was going to say, if it was Butch Jones, then I understand why I've been blocked.
So we have breaking news here from our producer. Josh Dobbs did not run his Twitter account in college.
Heard it from very good sources, but I'm not allowed to say who
ran
it. That
makes a lot of sense, because I looked it back up, and I searched like my Twitter handle and the name Dobbs, and I've said nothing but good things about him.
So getting back to it, we roll up. He comes up. I shake my hand. You know, we shake hands. And hey, I'm Bubba's cuz, Trey. And
is Catherine there?
Yes. And
okay. Now the story's interesting.
So we get to talk, and I said, man, you blocked me on Twitter. You know that? And he said, no. I said, yeah, man, you blocked me on Twitter. I said, I was talking about your wonderful chest tattoo. So he started laughing and cutting up, and he was like, well, hold on a minute. Let me see if I can do something about it.
Yeah, unblock
so
you.
So he acts like he unblocks me on Twitter.
But he didn't.
I didn't check my Twitter. I didn't care, really. So I got home, and I had a picture, you know, with everybody, cuz, and whatever.
You want to tag him.
And this is years ago. And so we kind of, I want to tag him. Say, hey, man, great time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Get him some love, too.
Maybe get him on your
come to find out he's
multiple
he's
outlets someday.
Blocking me still. And I was like, why? What in the world? So
hold on. Let me see what I can do.
Yeah.
You mean unblock me?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, whatever. If he wants to play games like that, enjoy your awful time in Buffalo.
You know what he was doing on that whole ride home with Catherine. He's like, I cannot stand that Trey guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just talking crap about my tattoo.
That mobile guy.
I will never unblock him on Twitter.
I support all of my mobile
except AJ McCarron
that come up. I even support AJ. Here's the part I hate about with AJ McCarron is he got shafted again in Buffalo when he got traded.
He did get
he
shafted.
He thought he was going to be the quarterback, then they draft.
My favorite part about that whole story was, of course, like especially with what happened this week, it's a hot topic again. When somebody does something big, all the Twitter trolls are out there ready to search their timeline or search their history and find all the questionable tweets, and the one about Josh Allen was just about Catherine Webb during the national championship game.
Yeah, that's nice.
Which I said, like, of all things, like...
Right.
I mean, Josh Allen did have some questionable Papa John's-esque tweets.
No, I agree.
That, you know, he had to apologize for, but the Catherine Webb one, that's a non-issue.
I agree.
He's pointing
also,
out that AJ McCarron's now wife is hot.
Also,
oh, wow.
She is very, very nice, and she is fun to be around. Catherine is very cool. Good mama. And we'll move on from AJ McCarron. Yeah, they do. They have a kid now. So good people.
Good
if,
for them.
If they support
good
my
for them.
Cuz,
hope he doesn't let
I'll
that boy get a tattoo someday.
Right. I'll support you. So
even though he's in Buffalo, AJ McCarron is definitely winning.
He's
far
off in a galaxy.
And his family's wealthy too. So it's not like he's coming from a tough upbringing.
Not really.
Are they not?
No, his dad's a firefighter.
Oh, seen his mom. I thought they were wealthy.
They're not together anymore, so maybe you saw a different type picture or something. But
maybe.
His dad's a really good guy, firefighter down in Mobile. Is what it is. Enough talking about AJ McCarron and chest tattoos.
Hey, you brought up AJ McCarron.
I know
McCarron,
I did.
Bro.
I know I did. Oh, man. On the other side, I'm not going to whisper anymore. Talk about everything else we have coming on. A little bit more of SEC Media Days talk. You guys call in. It's kind of open phone lines until we get to Mark Moses at 140. It's optional. It's Fox Sports Knoxville.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm going to be the man who wakes up next to you.
Okay. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm sorry, Gus Malzahn just talked about that he signed a colonoscopy graph from a fan.
That's your state, man. That's all I got to say.
Let's see.
Those are fans from your state.
Strangest thing you've had to take a picture of with sign. What is it?
Oh, yeah. I think a guy had a colonoscopy.
Whoa.
In line one time.
Colonoscopy?
Like,
he said it wrong.
You really want me to do this? But I did it.
Wow.
You're
good sport,
a picture of it.
Okay, thank God.
It's
okay.
I was like, what are we signing here?
Thank you.
Gus Malzahn signed a picture of a colonoscopy. That's fantastic. Let's go to the phone lines. It's optional here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Travis, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? A couple things for you here. What are the dates, or what is the first ball practice? And then also, massive brain fart.
No, you're good. Take your time, buddy. Okay, we got to 140.
As far as fall practice goes, how much reporting do you think we'll get out about how practices are going? Do you think it'll be more or less or equal to the Butch Jones era? Hang up and listen. Thanks, man.
Yeah, Travis, according to 24/7, they released their schedule just under a week ago. And players will be reporting on July 28th, and the first practice of fall camp is scheduled for July 29th. So media day for the Vols will be held on August 13th. That's all in the same article by 24/7 Sports. So
first day of spring practice, I mean fall practice is when?
July 29th. The players will all be on campus by July 28th.
Okay.
So the following day.
Probably a run-through, and then they get going August.
Yeah.
Right there at the beginning of August. Dish Network.
It's coming up then, 9 days.
Dish Network just came out and said something about Ann Payton announcing 44 Deers.
Their CEO or president or whatever is a big alumni, so.
Oh, yeah,
which makes
yeah.
sense as to why. Like, I didn't know that for the longest time, and I was always like, why is Tennessee Clips, or why are Tennessee Clips on the commercial for Dish Network? That's, you know, until I found out during the coaching search and talking about all the donors and who's putting money where,
right.
that was Charlie
Eggern.
Yeah. I was going to say Reed knows.
Big, big money. And his second part was, he said something about Butch Jones. I'm sorry. I was. Did Travis say something about Butch Jones right then? I got caught off.
He was asking if media availability, like, are we going to hear more?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, they'll have media availability.
Well, no, that's what I answered right there. Well, yeah. August.
I'm saying that they'll.
He's asking, like, are we going to hear more about practices and information, which I would have to say no, given how Pruitt is.
Right, I would think so, too.
I would say probably not, but I would also say that. You know, we'll be there. We'll cover practices. We'll get everything set for you. You know, and I think he's never going to give away much at all. Period. That's just Pruitt, and that's every SEC football coach.
That's how an actual coach is supposed to be.
Right. If you're looking for more, if you're looking for more inside stuff when it comes to the team, I mean, I would say. Follow us, but also I would say you're not going to get that from the university just straight up if that's kind of what you're insinuating. So, you know, just play the hand that's dealt when it comes to that. But they do a good job over there when it comes to getting information out. I had a question for UT's communications department.
Yeah.
No. I had a question about Trey Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, and I emailed the guys over at Tennessee, and Zach Stipe got back to me last night. Because here's what I asked about Trey Smith. I asked, Jeremy Pruitt never said he was medically cleared. He never used that term. Mm-hmm. So that stood out to me, and I kind of wanted just to be all straight and narrow with everything, kind of ask, okay, I didn't hear him use the word medically cleared. Can you give me a little more insight? And I got back. The response was Trey Smith will be back for the start of fall camp. And then they gave me Pruitt's quote from yesterday. So they're very good at getting back. I wanted clarity. I guess that's the best way to put it. And I got that. So
interesting.
We'll see.
Possible news on Twitter from former ESPN reporter Brett McMurphy. SEC Media Day is returning to Hoover, Alabama in 2019, but sources said Dallas is, quote-unquote, an option in 2020.
If they go to Dallas...
Why would that
you
be
go to
option?
Dallas because of Texas A&M.
Yeah, I guess, but like...
You go to Dallas to
is
to,
College Station that close to Dallas or Fort Worth?
It's 3 hours away.
Right, I was thinking...
I get that, but it's also Dallas. It's an easy flight in from mostly everywhere. I mean, the prices they were charging to be on Radio Row and stuff like that are kind of through the roof. Don't tell me the SEC's not making money off the press that goes down there and covers
right.
it.
Right. I don't know. It just seems like it's so out of the way for everyone else.
Well, I
agree.
Where,
like, Atlanta's central, Alabama's central enough.
I said it. They should hold SEC Media Days in Hoover, in Nashville, and in Atlanta.
Yeah. That would be a fair
just
rotating.
Do a round robin every other year, whatever. Just do a rotating.
Or Orlando,
schedule.
That would have been convenient for some people who had to drive up.
Well,
to Birmingham
sucks for you. I mean, it is what it is.
With a broken AC.
Right, that happens. Roll your window down.
I
remember one
too.
Time, Columbia. And I went and saw my buddies play, the twins, Jordan and Dusty Lindsay. They used to play for South Carolina.
Okay.
One played a lot more. And I rolled up there and had my car window busted out and everything taken out of it at their apartment complex. And I had to drive back to Mobile from Columbia, South Carolina in the rain without a window. And I was... I don't know where the story is going, but we're talking about driving with no AC.
Right.
I was kind of one of those type deals where it is what it is. You just have to roll with the punches.
Enough, the water will come in.
I did get to sit down in their recruiting pitches. Maybe we'll have them on to talk about that one day. But we were good friends in high school.
Are your friends recruiting pitchers?
We were good friends. So I was sitting in with Lou Holtz when he was – Lou Holtz pitched me – about coming to South Carolina with them because they had such a good communication school. Like, that's how weird it is. This college recruiting stuff, they'll pitch everyone and your mother.
Oh, I'm sure.
For you to come to the school. I mean, I remember Auburn coaches being there. You know, and then we go to Wenzel's Oyster House on the Causeway with Lou Holtz. And I was like, do you guys want me to come? I mean, I don't have to come. You know, I mean, it's cool. No, come and eat with us. It's Lou Holtz. I was like, all right, cool. And they knew how much I wanted to get into college broadcasting. And Lou Holtz just starts pitching me. Hey, man, look, you can come to school here. You know, in his Lou Holtz voice. We have such a great journalism school and a communications program. And trying to get me to convince them. I was like, I don't care.
You say Lou Holtz. This is Lou Holtz at Carolina or Notre Dame?
Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. So, neat stuff. Well, trust me, we're going to dive into a lot more of this over the next months and months that we're here and years. So, on the other side, though, Mark Moses coming on from Jacksonville. We're going to talk all things Media Days, Jacksonville Jaguars, Yankees. I don't care. We're going to talk about it all. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional. Trey Wallace. Jason Hall, Brandon Johns, fun afternoon. Let's go to the McKinley team hotline. My man Mark Moses from down there in Florida. Hope you had a great time at SEC Media Days, buddy. It's so good to have you on.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on the show. And hey, I'm very excited for you guys with the new show. I know you just started.
Yeah, we're getting there, man. I got to get to your point down there at 1560 The Fan, down there in Melbourne, Florida. But we're getting there, man. You know, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'm just glad, you know, I get to come on your show and you get to come on mine because I'm excited to hear about your experience to SEC Media Days over the last 2 days. You were driving up to Atlanta. Kind of tell me about it, man. What was your experience like? I know you had a nice run in with Nick Saban. I can't wait to hear this one.
No, you're absolutely right. Look, I have been covering college football. This will be year 14 for me, and I've lived all over the country for radio and TV broadcasting. And, you know, I've covered Big Ten Media Days, done a lot of work with the ACC, you know, Big 12, AAC, a lot of different conferences, and this was my first time ever doing SEC Media Days. And as we all know, it's usually in Birmingham, Hoover. They move it to Atlanta. They want to go bigger and better. This was one of the craziest media events I've ever covered. 1,200 credentialed media members. Now, I don't know how many of those are actual people that cover the SEC. There might have been people like their dead grandpa showed up somehow, but seriously, 1,200. And especially for you guys, when Tennessee showed up with the players and Jeremy Pruitt, it really puts in perspective, you know, you guys are there in Knoxville, but remember, you know, you got all these other towns, Chattanooga, Memphis, they also cover Tennessee. So it was nonstop with people showing up, and it was just like, it was crazy. And it's even going on today. It's a four-day event. No other conference can say that. I mean, it was complete chaos, man.
Tell me about did you have any kind of interaction with Nick Saban? How was he, Mark? Was he nice to you?
Here's the thing. I have seen Nick Saban before in person. I've seen Alabama play football. But this is like, he's the rock star. He is the best college football coach of our generation. We can all admit that. Six championships. This guy is the best in the business. When he shows up, everyone shuts up. They get off their phone for 3 seconds, and they see him. Like, you want to, at the end of the day, say, I have seen Nick Saban in person. That is the best of the best. And what's funny is, that's just not the fans. That's the media as well, because we talk about him all the time. It doesn't matter if you're in Arkansas, Mississippi, Florida, Tennessee. Everyone talks about Nick Saban. Everyone knows who he is. So especially when we were on Radio Row, he walks into the room, everyone got quiet. Everyone. And these are professionals that talk to athletes, coaches, and celebrities all the time. They got quiet. And you kind of felt like, is the Emperor music from Star Wars going to start playing? That's what it kind of feels like when you see him in person. And he's walking by, and I talk to people all the time. I go, hey, coach, thanks for coming. He's like, hey, guys. And then everyone looked at me like I was a crazy person for even trying to talk to Nick Saban. That's how powerful he is right now in the SEC.
Mark, I just came up here from the Central Florida area myself. Are you as tired of UCF as I am?
Well, I cover UCF.
That's what I figured. I didn't want to get you in too much trouble, but let's be honest. You're on Knoxville Airways. We're not the Orlando audience isn't listening.
He's got his UCF shirt.
Okay, here's the thing with UCF. I got to talk to Bill Hancock, executive director of the College Football Playoff, and I asked him about UCF, and he looked at me right in the eye, and he said, look, strength of schedule. No hesitation, strength of schedule, meaning you better play in a Power 5 conference.
Right.
I don't care if you're 35-0 and you're killing everyone 100-0. It doesn't matter. And I told him, hey, I hope you understand moving forward also, if you look at strength of schedule, remember last fall, UCF had to cancel a game also against Georgia Tech because of a hurricane that hit us, and we helped out the National Guard instead. So I really don't care that Bama played Arkansas really well. You got to think of some of these things. And don't forget, they beat Auburn head-to-head in a neutral site game. But I understand where you guys are coming from, where you're sick of hearing about UCF. But look, it can't just keep being the same four or five teams in the playoff. It's going to get stale for people around the country,
agreed,
not just in our neck of the woods.
No, I agree. And here's the thing. Let me say this about UCF. I like UCF, the story, the season, the game. That game they had with USF down there in Orlando towards the end of the season, that was one of the best games of the season in college football. It was fantastic. I look at the story and I think, man, this is pretty cool. You know, this is cool that they're undefeated, that Scott Frost was there, that they go and beat Auburn. And then they threw the national champ thing on there, and I was like, oh, gosh. They could have just been the Cinderella darlings of the year. And then they kind of went and tried to throw it down everybody's throat that they're so-called national champions, and they're wrapping cars, and they're holding parades and giving out rings. And I think they would be – look. Everybody, in my opinion, is going to remember this UCF thing for one reason now, because they said they were national champions when they could have just been remembered as a fantastic 13-0 team that got left out of the playoffs when they shouldn't have.
Here's the thing. When you're there, all the bigwigs are in the room.
Yeah.
If it's from ESPN, Fox Sports, if it's from the commissioner's office, and I got to talk to the commissioner as well, it's interesting. There's this feeling in the room like, hey, we're the best in the business. And every room you went into had the stupid slogan, it just means more.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, thrown down your throat.
Right.
And there's this entitlement. We're the SEC. We're the best in the business. We're winning championships. We're in the Power Five. And there's this feeling of like, hey, this is an old boys club. Only the same couple of teams are allowed in this room. All right. What's interesting is UCF is yelling, but the people I don't understand who aren't yelling enough. Think about this. What is this going to be? Year five of the playoff now?
Yep.
The SEC, the ACC, and the Big Ten have made it every single year. So they're getting that exposure, and they're getting that money. You're the Pac-12 and the Big 12. You're not making it every year. they're the ones that should be yelling. If it's a Power 5, why are there only four playoff spots? Those are the people that should be yelling, guys.
Mark, you're a Chicago guy, so first of all, I want to say thank you for Gleyber Torres, and you're welcome for the Chapman rental. And my question for you is, the Cubs enter the second half of the season with the best record in the NL. What moves does this team have to make to get another run at the World Series?
Well, you saw that the Dodgers picked up Manny Machado the other day. Like they just, you know, like they were at the grocery store. Oh, I need some eggs. Let's just go get a shortstop. So it's that easy for them. I think the Cubs, I think what really hurt them, and I don't know why they did this, and I've been yelling this for months now, the Yu Darvish move, I think, was just a waste of money. It's just, what were you doing? And yet Jake Arrieta, who helped you win a World Series in 2016,
right,
all-star pitcher. He goes to Philadelphia, and I understand he made $30 million this year, and the Cubs didn't want to pay, but that was one of your guys. And he's playing a high level, and he's helping Philadelphia go for the NL East. It's just shocking. If you're the Cubs, pitching, pitching, and pitching. That's what it needs to be. And look, man, I grew up on the north side of Chicago. It still blows my mind we're having these conversations that the Cubs are contenders, and they won a championship. I feel like we're in Back to the Future, too, every time we talk about this.
Right. Sticking with Chicago, I saw something pop up on Twitter yesterday that there was a prediction that Trubisky could be the next Jared Goff, have that kind of sophomore season. What are your expectations for him in year two?
I like that someone's actually asking me a positive question about Trubisky.
Right.
When I talk to people, they all make fun of that the Bears took Trubisky, and I'm like, look, he's got the prototypical arm, the body. He's going to have Matt Nagy as his offensive coordinator. I like what he might do, and they got him weapons around him as well, like Robinson from Jacksonville, and they got a great 1-2 fantasy punch at the running back position. And I'm very excited for year two, but everyone goes on and on about Deshaun Watson, and he was amazing at Clemson, and he looked good for a couple games, but I feel better having Trubisky for the next 6 to 7 years over having Deshaun Watson because I just don't think he can stay healthy.
Well, what about the fact that they just traded up one spot to get him when he probably would have been there?
You had to trade up. Look, go get your quarterback. Who cares what everyone else thinks? And I know that San Francisco, they got more picks, but look, you've never had a quarterback. Never.
True.
I've grown up with this. You look at the Packers. Great quarterback playing Brett Favre for 20 years, and then you're going to have Aaron Rodgers for 15 straight years. Go get your quarterback. Stop with the Jay Cutler, you know, shenanigans. Get your guy. I don't care if you had to trade up, and I'm going to defend the pick. I'm happy that they trade up and got at him.
So you're saying you're not watching very cavalierly for all of Jay Cutler's antics right now like the rest of Chicago Twitter?
No. Let me tell you something, all right? I wasn't expecting this as a question, but look, he stole 8 years of my life. Where I had to stand up for him and watch him not care. I really don't care what he does with his wife in Nashville.
I got a spoiler. From what I've seen, and I haven't watched the show, but it seems like he's doing the same thing in real life, too.
Well, it's not an act. That's really him. He's really a jerk that doesn't care. He's Jeff George 2.0, and that will be his legacy.
That's fantastic.
I heard a good quote about Jay Cutler.
I don't follow Chicago.
I will say, I wish I cared as little about anything as Jay Cutler cares about everything.
Oh, I know.
That's my favorite Jay Cutler quote or related quote.
Trey, you weren't expecting this, were you?
No, I mean, I'm not expecting us to talk Chicago Bears, but I mean, hell, it is what it is. It's cool, man. I mean, look, I don't talk Titans, so it's not a big deal. If anything, I guess we'd have talked Jacksonville, but I forgot you were from Chicago. I forgot you were a Sister Jean fan as well last year in the tournament, so congratulations to that. I mean, is there anything else? You want to talk White Sox and Cubs? I mean,
no one cares about the White Sox in Chicago, man.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Is like going through SEC media days for a couple days, and it's like, look, here's what it is. We're going to have an 8-game schedule. We're not going to 9. We're staying to 4 teams in the playoff, and Bama's fantastic. It's one of those analogies where you grow up as a kid, you get home from school, and you ask your mom or dad, what's for dinner? And they go, look, we're having lasagna. And you're like, okay, well, I don't want lasagna. They're like, yeah, well, it's this or nothing.
Right.
That's what I felt like at SEC media days. Here's what you got. Nick Saban's the man. 8 games, 14 playoff, deal with it. That's what it felt like.
But did you enjoy it, though? Did you enjoy Atlanta? Did you enjoy – I know this is you around the SEC, and, You know, it is what it is. You do cover the Gators as well, so let's put that out there. So I understand it in that point of view, but overall experience, would you have this thing be rotated between places like Birmingham, Nashville, Atlanta, places like that? Because there's a report out there this morning that Dallas could be in the running. I mean, why in God's name would they go to Dallas for SEC Media Days?
That's a great question. It has no business being in Dallas. None. That's like how the ACC basketball tournament is in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like, stop it. It's supposed to be in Greensboro. Yeah. That's the heart of the ACC. I would love, and I'm happy you guys brought this up, I would love for it to rotate, because I'm getting sick of where it's always been in Birmingham, now it's Atlanta, where it's like, oh, watch all these crazy Bama and Auburn fans show up. Hey, if you had it in Orlando, it'd be 10,000 Gator fans showing up. Or if it's in there in Nashville, be all the Tennessee fans showing up. You mean
Vanderbilt?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Five Vandy fans. All right. Would they show up? What would happen?
Need security.
Listen, we were talking in the break, and I said I would have preferred it to be in Orlando when I had to drive up with no AC to Birmingham a few years ago. So I'm with you on that one. I'll give you a Jaguars question. Blake Bortles entering, coming off signing a big extension. What's the outlook for him?
Well, they're going to believe in Blake Bortles because they gave him the trust of you're our quarterback moving forward. And you go back to that AFC Championship game, they had a two-score lead in the fourth quarter, and the difference was quarterback play. Now, I know you're taking on a Hall of Famer times 10 in Tom Brady, but he had chances in that. And Leonard Fournette, if he would have just put his hands up on a wheel route, they score a touchdown, they win that game, and it's going to be up to Bortles. And what's so crazy is the expectations for them here in 2018 is Super Bowl or bust. And it's up to Blake Bortles and his great Twitter account, Blake Bortles Facts, to get it done, man. It's all on them. They have a great defense.
Yep.
They got Leonard Fournette.
They do.
It's on Bortles. It's all on him, man, to get it done.
Fantastic. Mark, we so appreciate you coming on, brother. I look forward to having you on again all during football season, and especially if I make a trip down to the Florida area, look forward to hanging out. But, man, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. You have a good show. And we'll do this again.
All right. I appreciate it, guys, and good luck with everything. All right, man?
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, buddy. We'll catch you on the other side. Brad Crawford's coming up from 247 Sports. We'll talk South Carolina. We'll talk much more. SEC, keeping things rolling. This is It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. I feel like this show, it's reminding me of going to a county fair and riding that little ride where you sit down in the seat and you pull the bar over your lap and you just go like in a circle.
Well, I got a question for you. Like, is Butch really Jones fast, running that ride?
Like this.
Because according to Paul Feinbaum, he is.
But this is what I felt like with the music today. Like, I've been like on a carnival ride.
Brendan's on an 80s kick. Give him a break.
No, I love Brendan's great, but I feel like it's that movie like Adventureland with Jesse Eisenberg, kid from Facebook movie.
The Social Project?
Social Network.
Social Network,
yeah. And then the girl from the Vampire Wolves movie. Well, dang it.
Oh, Twilight?
Kristen Stewart. Yeah, Twilight. They were both in it with Ryan Reynolds, and they worked at a... You know, Brandon knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's we know what Adventureland is.
That's what I feel like.
I'm just
they're all wearing
saying,
those pink and blue
where are you going
shirts,
with this again?
And we're just listening to this music that's playing.
DJ BJ spinning the hits.
DJ BJ.
That's good stuff.
There we go.
Bill Hader was hilarious in that movie.
He was always hilarious.
When he was trying to attack everybody. Okay, so let's get back to it. Let's talk about it.
Let's get back to this. So why do you think Tennessee fans have empathy for Derek Dooley, a man who wasted
because
3 years of their lives and had a huge buyout that they had to pay?
Because he was such an incompetent football coach that I think they felt bad for him.
And?
I think just
why
it's been long enough. Butch is gone.
I do, like if you're comparing it to Butch Jones and you're comparing it to Lane Kiffin. Those are two completely different situations.
I agree. He's not hated.
Hate him.
No.
Yes. Don't tell me how I feel.
Okay, you probably hate him because of what he did.
Actually,
your football team
I take that back
because
you know what. when I interviewed him as a student journalist, he was very nice, and he did awkwardly keep his hand on my shoulder way too long, and I was like, yeah, that's weird.
It's like but, a church deacon.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying, like, he's a nice guy, but, like, I don't like him as a coach.
Yeah, but you don't hate him as a person.
I hate him as a coach. I absolutely hate him as a coach.
Let me ask
if I saw Derek Dooley, I'd boo him. Yes, that's absolutely.
Let me ask you something. All the stories and everything.
Listen, here's the thing. If Derek Dooley wasn't Tennessee's head coach, Butch Jones would never be at Tennessee's head coach.
Okay, well, let's not get into the butterfly effect.
Okay.
God, that was good.
Ashton Kutcher, he's a man.
That no, movie? I'm not even talking about the movie, just me name dropping that.
That was good.
Phrase, dude.
I know that, but
it's not like the movie, whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
Just came up with that one right off the top of my head. It was fantastic. But what I'm getting at here is
you're giving yourself way too much credit for that. But go ahead.
I know I am, and I'm gonna be thinking about that all day. Derek Dooley did not
Junior, let's go.
He wasn't a problem behind the scenes as much as Butch Jones was behind the scenes.
Well, yeah. Do you agree with me on that? Comparing apples to oranges.
We're talking about bath shower etiquette compared to a player falling on a helmet.
Okay. But still, he was an inept head coach.
Okay, but
he backed this program up 10 years.
And he was also the 7th or 8th choice of the Tennessee.
He set the bar so low that people thought Butch Jones was the savior of the program and the caretaker of the University of Tennessee football program.
But what I'm getting at is I just don't think he's not going to get a standing ovation.
He's not going to get
cheered
either.
But he's not
going
to get like, booed out of the building.
If you say offensive,
I think he walks into the stadium.
Listen, it's
not
going to be.
Nobody says a thing.
That's
it's
what not going to.
No, if. Well, because they're not going to notice
Who cares? Yeah, who cares?
Student section don't remember him.
If they
Hell,
do
they
the
okay, 12
listen,
at the time.
If the PA announcer, if the PA announcer announces, you don't think 12-year-olds watch Tennessee football?
Yeah, but they don't. I
don't think they're.
They
gonna,
don't know the OC.
Derek
I mean,
Dooley
the head,
is in
the
building.
Coach.
I think
right,
if like, they announce on the PA,
that's a low blow.
Here's the coaching staff.
They'd never do that.
Defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator Derek Dooley. Then yeah, they're gonna they boo him in a heartbeat.
They would never do that. I would bet you $20 right now that most of the people that are students at the University of Tennessee don't know that Derek Dooley's the OC at Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay, that's different though. But you're saying Tennessee fans have empathy towards Derek Dooley. I'm arguing
they
that
care.
They don't.
Empathy in a way they don't care. They just they
but that's not what that
feel
what that means
bad
though.
For the guy. But it's just like, oh, poor Derek.
That's what empathy
poor
means.
Poor Derek Dooley. I know that. What I'm getting at is that poor Derek Dooley, he didn't quite know what he was getting into when he came here. That type of deal. I'm not.
I don't think. I don't feel bad for a guy who got a job out of nepotism. So, whatever.
I think a lot of people's anger got like unleashed on Derek Dooley by watching Dez Bryant yell at him. So I don't think they care. I think I'm with you, Trey. I agree that he's an inept head coach,
right.
But I don't think people care enough now.
Okay, that's fine. But the argument was empathy for him.
You had to go through Dooley and Butch Jones to get to Pruitt.
And we still don't know if that's worthwhile.
I think you got yourself actually a football coach.
Optimistically, so. Sure, but... he's definitely more of a football coach than the last two.
Right. And the press conferences aren't going to be gold, but you don't need them to be gold. You want your coach to win.
I don't want my coach to be someone I think I would want to have a beer with. Like Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, I bet they'd be miserable to hang out with.
No, because they
would Bill
coach
Belichick
football.
Would be awesome.
No, they would
everybody
just
says Bill Belichick's low-key really
martinis.
Funny.
I'm sure he is, but what I'm saying is like just how he handles the press. Like
right.
I don't need you to be my friend. I need
right.
you to be the football coach.
Yeah, I agree. I like to have a beer with Deacon Barnes. Rick Barnes. Seems like a good guy.
I was like, who's Deacon Barnes?
Yeah. got that one's
I thought that
head.
Was actually like an old coach's like actual
so
name.
Did I. So
I
did
like, who's Deacon Barnes? But yeah, Rick Barnes would be interesting.
Man, SEC basketball's going to be great next year, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's going to be. I can't wait to cover it all. Get it, you know, just talk about it. SEC basketball, kickoff in October. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. But, I mean, the Derek Dooley thing, man, look, when it all comes – let me tell you something. If Tennessee is somehow, like, 5-3 when Missouri comes to town and that place is rocking because they're 5-3, one win away from a bowl game, maybe it's a different story. But I still think Tennessee fans – They've gotten over being extremely PO'd with Derek Dooley. I know he set the program back. I know his recruiting was interesting, to say the least. But I just don't think there's going to be people out there cussing him out when he gets off the bus and yelling at him.
It's a split poll right now. In a matter of 5 seconds, I checked. It's 52% yes, 48% no.
What was the question again?
It was, will Derek Dooley get booed on the sidelines at Neyland Stadium during the Missouri game this season?
I don't think enough people care. I mean, the student section ain't going to care. They're not going to know. I mean, some of the frat boys will know.
Why do you think the frat boys are smarter than the rest of the student body?
No, I'm not talking
about
that.
I think it's the other
way
around, but whatever.
But there's just more in tune.
The word would get around to all the frat house. Let's make signs.
We totally got to do something with Dooley.
Let's make signs. Let's do it.
I was in a fraternity, guys. I don't appreciate this hate.
Well, can I also say that the frat houses on the University of Tennessee campus...
24 now, man.
...are absolutely fantastic. I don't know what they look like on the inside, but on the outside, they could pass for an $800,000 home in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
who raises this money?
Hey, big alumni base.
What fraternity were you in, Brandon?
I was in Kappa Sigma down at UTC, baby.
I had a bunch of friends from there, from Henderson.
When we get off the air, I would like the secret handshake.
He's not going to give it to you.
Can't do that.
It's a secret.
Well,
yeah, that's the whole point.
I know it's a secret, but we'll talk about this a little more. Are you excited as a UTC alum to see – well, did you get –
Yeah. I never went to a UTC football game.
I went to two.
I went to UTC football game, tailgates, and then watched the UT football game.
You
in the
missed
parking
absolutely
lot.
Nothing.
Oh, I know.
Trust me.
They were in the.
You didn't support the Mocs?
No.
No.
I went to a freshman year before I transferred. I went to a UTC women's basketball game against the Lady Vols and cheered for the Lady Vols.
You were there in Chattanooga for that game?
Yeah, it was freshman year. It was Pat Summit was there, and they smoked them. Except the Lady Mocs were good.
Wait. Chattanooga won that game, I thought.
No, not that game. That was a different one.
Interesting. I loved how Pat Summit always went to the kind of lower school gyms that you wouldn't think they would go to. I think that was one of the cool things.
A friend of mine, Will Ogburn, replied to our poll and goes, "All it takes is one person booing to be right with a yes, and I'm pretty sure you will be." So he's...
No, that's crap.
That's
I'm talking about
true.
A stadium full
that's
of booing.
True.
You know what? Tomorrow, I'm not worried about it. Tomorrow, we are having newly discovered Tennessee volunteer fan, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat on. This is great. I'm not going to get overexcited yet. I've still got 24 hours to kind of chill out and get ready for it. I know Jason's excited. Everybody should be. Spread the word. Tomorrow, 1:15. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I'm sure Jason and we'll go fanboy over WrestleMania 3. But I'm telling you, he is evolved for life now.
God, I wish we could have Macho Man. That's so sad.
I can't get Macho Man on the phone. You did.
That was my point of saying I'm sad about it.
I'm just kidding with you. Next, we'll get Kevin Nash on, right?
Absolutely. Kevin Nash is probably the best interview we can get. He's fantastic in shoots. His interview, he's so dry.
Former basketball player.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, I think that's really cool. So Ricky the Dragon Steamboat will be on tomorrow. We'll have a lot of fun with that. That's going to be at 1:15. Tomorrow's going to be open lines, unless just something happens in the next 2 hours at SEC Media Days. I appreciate you guys joining us today. It's been an optional on Fox Sports, Knoxville.